And amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Folks, do you believe that the Lord is in our midst here today? Do you believe that He's here as a Savior, as the healer? Amen. Our provider and our protector. I'll tell you what, God is here, and He is here to be worshiped and glorified. He is here to meet needs. He's here to move upon our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. I love what Pastor Brad was saying during tithes and offerings here today. A harvest of righteousness. A harvest of righteousness. That's absolutely. You know, sometimes we find ourselves, we want just the harvest of money. We want the harvest of stuff. We want the harvest of better circumstances. We want a harvest of favor and all this stuff. But what the world needs to see is people with the right heart who are sold out to God, who want to do right by God no matter what it takes. That's what your kids need to see the most. That's what your grandkids need to see. They need to see you branded with the presence of God. They need to see you surrendered and living in the ways that the Lord instructs. Amen. I'll tell you what, your friends, your family, that's what they need. That's what we need more than anything, is a heart that wants to be right with God at all times. Amen. Praise the Lord. God gives us that opportunity. That just goes to show you what tithes and offerings really are. It's an opportunity to get our heart right. It's an opportunity to demonstrate a desire to put God first. You know, God is not a slot machine. You know, we're not just trying to put money in and pull the lever and get some money out. We're here to honor Him and to put Him first. Amen. Did you come ready for church here today? Well, again, we welcome those that are visiting Family Church. We just love you. We know that God's got a plan for your life. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here. We welcome you. We're so glad to have you. Only thing better than having you here today would be to have you here every Sunday at 10:30. We'd love to be your church family. I'd love an opportunity to be your pastor. Amen. And church, whose opportunity is it to make sure that our visitors feel warm and welcome? That's ours. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. So glad to see you. It's so good to see a full church on a summer Sunday, right? Feels like summer out there. Praise God. Hey, real quickly, before we jump into the Word, I just want to, you know, touch up on some things, just emphasize some things. First of all, about the youth camp. Registration is now open for youth camp. There's just a $50 registration fee. We're doing all that we possibly can to make sure that that's the only fee. We're going to be, you know, in the days to come, we're going to be, you know, raising some funds to make sure that these kids and these families get to partake in that youth camp completely cost-free, besides the $50 sign-up fee. That's a whole week of camp, food, activities, and a dynamic experience with the Lord. Amen. Folks, these youth camps that we put on every single year, they change lives. We now, last year, had over 100 kids, you know, and our goal is to have another 100 kids this year. And so get your heart prepared. You know, we're going to try to, we're not going to try, we're going to get there. Amen. We're going to raise those funds, amen, to send those kids to camp. Registration is open if you have kids or if you have extended family members, you know, even if, and especially if they have no church experience, what a great opportunity to get them into that youth camp and get them serving the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And also, don't forget, this Wednesday is our last Wednesday night men's and women's Bible group this coming Wednesday. And my wife and I, we've been talking. We've got something special planned. You don't want to miss it. Come on out. We're going to just get together. We're going to have some fun, food and fellowship. And so we're going to just kind of celebrate and kick off the summer. Everyone's welcome to go. Even if you haven't been coming to men's and women's group, come on out at 6:30 this Wednesday. We're going to have some fun together. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Oh, you know, I sense people coming into church a little slow today. Got a nice full house, but sometimes we can just, you know, be moving a little slower towards the things of God. Go ahead right now and just shake that off, right? Go ahead and just brush that off, the trials of the week, the challenges of the week. I'll tell you what, the Lord is in our midst and He's going to move in our lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Ooh, I think maybe the first couple rows might be ready. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Listen, you know, Jesus said, Mark 4:24, the measure in which you hear the word will be the measure of God's virtue and power that comes back to you. You know, when we hear the word, it's not that we're just sitting here, it's that we put some effort towards it, that we decide to hear with great attention, and we hear not with attention, but intention. What do you intend to do with what you hear today? Do you decide before you even hear it? Have you decided that you're going to be a doer of it no matter what it takes? Amen. I want the word living and dwelling in me richly according to the scripture. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles. Go over to John chapter 5. And today I'm going to call this message, When the Love of God Dwells in You. What it looks like, what it will do in your life when God's love is dwelling in you. And here's the good news. The Bible says that if you're a born-again Christian, if you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has already been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who is given to us. The Spirit of God moves into our life, and one of the first indicators of a born-again life is that we love God. Amen. The love for God and the love of God. Amen. Over the last several weeks, I've been teaching a series of messages about having the right heart, about being sincere, about being right, you know, right with God, about having the right motives, about stripping away all the selfishness and making sure that we don't make faith about us, making sure that, you know, we don't just seek God for what he can give us, but we seek him for him. We give him glory, that we're not just trying to seek a happy life. We're here to seek a faithful life, a committed and devoted life. Amen. That's what we're here to seek. We're not here just trying to, you know, be, you know, have the right feeling all the time or just be happy all the time. You know, the goal is to be faithful no matter what we're going through. We're not using our faith like a fire extinguisher. We're not just trying to put out all the fires. We're walking through the fire. We're going to the other side of it, and we're doing so with courage, with faith. And faithfulness. Amen. Several weeks ago, I started this series of messages by talking about that healing has a greater purpose. We know that healing in our bodies isn't just something that the Lord provides for us personally. We have to have strength in our human bodies if we're going to serve faithfully in his body, right? God provides what is necessary for us to be faithful in our function in the body of Christ. We got to remember, we've got to get to a point in our life where this body, the body of Christ, who is the body of Christ, everybody? Amen. We are. The people are the body of Christ. We got to make sure that we put more value on this body before we put value on this body. You know what I mean by that? So many times people, they come to church, they want to see what they can get out of it. But I tell you what, grace is on your life when you go to a local fellowship and you want to be a blessing to the body. You want to be, you know, there and serve and do what's right by them. Amen. And then we talked about James chapter 4, and we taught a message called Get Over Yourself. And it says that we can fail to receive from God. James 4:3 says that we fail to receive from God because we ask amiss. He says, we receive not because we ask not, and when we ask incorrectly because we seek to receive, to consume upon our own lusts. We cannot seek God to get things just to consume for ourselves. There's a lot of Christians, they just want healing for themselves. They want money for themselves. They want, you know, blessings for themselves. We're not blessed just for us. We're blessed to be a blessing. Amen. And then we talked about, you know, in that same passage of scripture where quarrels and fights and all these strifes and arguments come from. It says, you know, in James chapter 4, that these fights come from within us, meaning, you know, we allow our thoughts to dominate us. We seek to be, you know, jealous of other people, and we get offended and all that stuff. That's why we got to prepare ourselves on the inside so we can live right on the outside. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Then we taught a message called God is bigger, and we got to make God bigger in our lives. Amen. And we said the number one way that you do that is tell God who he is. The scripture tells us over and over who he is. He is the faithful God. He is the one that is faithful to covenant to 1,000 generations. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And we talked about, start telling God who he is. Make him big in your life, and you watch your trial seem small compared to how great he is. Amen. And then we started talking about prayers that move God. And we saw Solomon when he started his kingship over there in 1 Kings chapter 3. Remember, Solomon prayed. The Lord appeared to him and said, "What will you desire that I'll give to you?" And Solomon said, "I want a heart of understanding. I want wisdom. I want to know how to be the greatest blessing as a leader to your people as possible." And the Lord said, "I am well pleased with this." And he said, "Because you did not ask for long life for yourself, because you did not ask for riches and honor for yourself, I will give you that which you didn't ask for." Amen. When our heart is right, God can trust us with things like prosperity. There's a lot of Christians, they want prosperity, but they don't want the character it takes to handle it. They want the wealth, but they don't want the wisdom that it takes to be able to do what's right by God. Seek the wisdom over wealth. Seek character instead of cash. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that prayer pleased God. And then, of course, we talked about what it takes to serve God. And we talked about the Beatitudes. How many of you remember the Beatitudes? Jesus said, "This is what will bless you. This is where true blessedness comes from." He said, number one, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Are you here today, everybody? Listen, I love you. I'm not going to let you take a vacation on me today. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, "Blessed are those that are poor in spirit," or literally, "Blessed are those who are not spiritually arrogant or thinking that it all revolves around them." Amen. Faith isn't just for, you know, isn't for you. Faith isn't about your trial, your challenges, and your problems. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs." He said also, he said, "Blessed are those that mourn," or those that are actually bothered to sin against God. He said, "Blessed are the meek, who will humble themselves and do something for God that does not bring glory to themselves." Folks, are you willing to do something for the Lord that'll bring you zero recognition, zero glory, and humble yourself and do that for him in a place where no one will recognize you? Praise God. And then last week, we talked about Abraham and what happens when we give glory to God. Amen. Abraham grew not weak in faith, looking at his own circumstances. When he was 100 years old, when his body was weak, and when his wife's womb is dead, he considered not the circumstances around him. Rather, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God in the midst of a hardship is how your faith will grow. That's how you're going to grow strong. Amen. And so that's just kind of review, just catching everybody up. And now today we're going to look at what happens when the love of God dwells in you. How many of you have the love of God dwelling on the inside of you? You do. If you're born again, the Bible says it's there. But how many of you, now trick question inbound, trick question. How many of you always at all times demonstrate the love of God? Oh boy, good. We didn't have any takers here today. You know, just because the love of God is in you does not mean you automatically demonstrate it. You know, we want to make sure that we pursue the right heart conditions so that we're demonstrating the love of God. Didn't the scripture say that about God? Over there in Romans 5:8, it said God demonstrates his love for us. And while even though we were yet sinners, Christ still died, he had to demonstrate that love. And today we're going to see what happens when we do demonstrate the love of God and when we don't demonstrate the love of God. Amen. Have you found John chapter 5? Go to verse 41. I'm reading in the King James here today. I'm going to read the passage, and then we're going to go back and take a look at what happens when the love of God dwells within you. Amen. I want to absolutely demonstrate the love of God in my life. Amen. And we're going to, of course, set the context here. Jesus, in this passage, he's dealing with those Pharisees. How many of you remember those buggers, the Pharisees there in the Bible? That word Pharisee has become synonymous with bad people, right? Religious bad people, right? And the Pharisees, of course, they were the Jewish leadership of the day. They were the ones that were the most educated. They were the religious elite. They were, you know, considered, you know, they wanted to be considered the smartest in the land. They wanted the glory for themselves. How many of you remember Jesus was constantly dealing with them because they wanted the honor for themselves? They wanted to be recognized themselves. You know, Jesus tried to tell them, hey, he said, you know, don't pray out on the street corner for everybody to see you like the Pharisees do it, because they're doing that to be seen and noticed of men. He said also, when you give alms, don't let your left hand know, right hand know what your left hand is doing. He said, because the Pharisees were doing those things to be seen and glorified. Remember, they wore those great get-ups, meaning they had those long phylacteries that would come down, and they had ornate uniforms that would make anything we wear today, I mean, absolutely seem like nothing. They were extremely pompous, and Jesus was always, always correcting them. And now we pick up the story here in verse 41. Jesus is talking in John 5:41. Jesus tells the Pharisees, he says, I receive not honor from men. I receive no honor from men. He says, but I know you, Pharisees, that you have not the love of God in you. So he says, I am not seeking the honor from people, but you Pharisees, you are seeking the honor from people because the love for God does not dwell in you. Ooh, here we go. Now we might be sitting here already thinking, boy, those rascals, the Pharisees. But I'll tell you what, if we're not careful, we can very easily be just like them and not even realize it. Oh, wow. Go back up to verse 41. I want to make sure you really understand, you know, what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about his personal hunger and desire for honor. He's not talking about that, you know, that God shouldn't be worshiped or glorified. He's talking about when he was on this earth, he wasn't trying to make himself out to be somebody, meaning he wasn't trying to just promote himself. Can you bring this verse up in the Amplified for me? And I want you to see the Amplified really brings this out. It's very important that we see it. I actually have my Amplified Bible with me. He says this, I receive not glory from men. He said, I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. This is Jesus showing us his heart. He says, I do not need the recognition from people. I don't need people to affirm me. I don't need somebody to make me feel better about myself. I don't need anybody glorifying me. And now go back over to verse 42 in the King James. He says, but I know you Pharisees, you do seek those things because you have not the love of God in you. He says, I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another would come in his own name, then you would receive him. Verse 44, look at what he says here. How can you be a believer, or how can you believe when you receive honor one of another and yet you seek not that the honor that comes from God only? He said, how can you Pharisees truly be a believer when you do not seek the honor that can only come from God? So what are we to seek, everybody? The honor that can only come from God. No man, no person can give you this honor. Nobody can fulfill you with recognition. Nobody can give you the approval that you truly seek. Are you getting a hold of this? This is what made the Pharisees, and Jesus said, you're like this, Pharisees, because the love of God does not dwell in you. Woo, are you here? Wow, glory to God. Look at verse 45. He says, do not think that I accuse you to the Father. He says, there is one that already accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. The Pharisees, they believed in the writings of Moses. But watch this. Verse 46. He says, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. He says, but if you believe not his writings, how will you believe my words? Jesus is saying, you Pharisees are the most educated and smartest people on the earth when it comes to the writing of Moses, but you couldn't even spiritually recognize the one that Moses was writing about. Jesus, the prophesied Messiah, is standing in front of them, and they were the most religious people of their day, and they did not see him for who he was. They could not recognize what God was doing. They were spiritually blind because the love of God did not dwell in them. So let's answer this question. What happens when the love of God dwells in you? Are you ready for this? Oh, man. Are you ready for this? Say, Pastor, you're looking for a group of cheerleaders, you know. No, I'm not. I want to get you involved because this will change your life. Amen. This is the heart that God will use. This is the heart that God will promote and bless. Look at this. Number one, are you ready? When the love of God dwells in you, number one, you won't demand human recognition. Boy, it got quiet in here. Number one, when God's love dwells in you, you won't demand human recognition. If we are going to be Christ-like, if we're going to walk like Jesus, we are not here to crave human recognition. Now, let's qualify that statement right from the top. Everybody listen right now, because here comes the disclaimer. Are you right? Are you ready? So we know this, that compliments from people, when your spouse tells you how proud they are of you, how many of you know that's a good thing and that feels good, right? You know, when somebody honors you with an award or something like that, how many of you know that that's good and that's right? You know, if your spouse compliments you, if somebody else says something nice to you, how many of you know that that can be a blessing? When somebody encourages you, that can be even godly and it can mean the world to you. And that is all good. That is all godly. That is all scriptural. Folks, married folks, compliment your spouse every single day. Men, compliment your wife every single day. Women, you know, compliment your husband every single day. Honor your husband. Men, honor your wives. Be honorable, be encouraging, you know, pour that on. But we're dealing with the idea of what the heart craves. Jesus is saying, not that those things are wrong, he said, but my heart does not thrive on the honor from people. I do not demand honor. I do not demand to be recognized. I don't demand approval, because we have a saying around here, what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? What if your spouse isn't delivering compliments for a week or a month or, God forbid, longer? What if your boss at work is not giving you recognition? What if someone puts you down? What if you feel overlooked? What if you're not getting that approval from men that you desire? Here is the heart that God can use when we humble ourselves and grow spiritually to demand no human recognition. I'll tell you what, if you want marital counseling, here it is. If you want counseling for your job, here it is. If you want counseling for all your family relationships, here it is. All right. Jesus, go back up to verse 41, and let's bring it up in the Amplified again, because we want to just keep saying this. Look at John 5:41 in the Amplified. Jesus said, I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. Now, I'm going to give us some alternative ways that we could say this in our modern language. Are you ready? We're going to start simple. And again, this doesn't mean you shouldn't, you know, be happy when you receive a compliment. It doesn't mean that it doesn't feel good to be encouraged. But what are you going to do if that never happens? You know, what are you living for? See, we're not living for the approval of men. We're not, you know, desperate for recognition from other, you know, people. We want to walk and please God. and we want to be secure in His love for us. All we ultimately need is to know and have a revelation of His love for us. Amen? All right, here's some ways that we could say what Jesus said there in the Amplified. I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. We could say it this way, and you don't have to write all this down by any means. You know, maybe just take down what means the most to you. You could say it this way. Jesus could say it this way. I put no expectations on people. There's the answer to your marriage right there. The Bible says in Romans 13:8, says, owe no man anything except to love him. I have no expectations and demands upon my wife. You know, I don't demand any recognition from people. I'll tell you what, this will solve a lot of relationship problems. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's keep going because we're going to take this even further. Here's another way we could say it. I don't demand that people recognize me, meaning honor me with recognition and approval. Let's take it a little bit further. We could say it this way. I won't be offended if someone isn't paying enough attention to me. All right. Notice Jesus, because he craved no human honor, we have no record of him ever being, you know, mad at someone because they didn't pay enough attention to him. Boy, are you here today? It sure is quiet in here. Praise the Lord. What if somebody isn't paying enough attention to you? What if you go through a stretch and your spouse is not paying enough attention to you? What are you going to do? I tell you what, your marriage will be less affected if you're not moved by that. If you're craving, and if you're not trying to live off human honor and recognition, your marriage can thrive and on the other side of a tough stretch where maybe there's not enough attention being given to you. What if your boss at work isn't paying enough attention to you? What if your pastor hasn't, you know, contacted you in a while? You know, not that I have a program of doing that, you know. This is our great moment right here together where we get the word of God, amen. But I'm here to tell you, what are you going to do when you get feelings like, you know, you've been neglected or overlooked? Oh, I won't be offended if someone doesn't pay enough attention to me. Praise the Lord. We could say it this way. I do not get my affirmation from others. So many people, they demand affirmation. Hello, married people. How many married people do we have here in our midst? All right, well, praise the Lord, most of you, all right? It's so easy to demand that your spouse affirm you all the time. I'm here to tell you, it's very nice. It's great when they do. You know, wives, affirm your husbands. You know, tell them, you know, every great thing about them. You know, look for every excuse to compliment them and honor them and all that stuff. I'm just saying, husbands, you can't demand that. You can't demand that or say that you will only be well if you get that. Because if you are demanding that and you're not getting that and you fall apart as a result, well, then your honor, you were hungry for the attention from your spouse more than you were affirmed by God. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I do not get my affirmation from others. I get my affirmation from the Lord. He is where I get my joy. He is where I get my strength. It would be unfair to expect my wife to provide all those things because she is incapable. As much as she is literally the best wife that has ever walked this earth, she still cannot fulfill me. I do not ask her to fulfill me. I get my fulfillment from the Lord, and I take that fulfillment into our marriage, not demand it out of our marriage. And you know what? She does the same thing. She finds her affirmation in the Lord. You know why? Because I couldn't keep up with that. I don't have those expectations on her. I don't have those demands on her. That would be unjust to think that she could maintain my joy. She can't. And we're going to say something like that here in just a moment. Praise the Lord. Here's another way you could say it. My relationships are not plagued with feelings of being overlooked. My relationships are not plagued with feelings of being overlooked. Jesus was never overlooked. He never felt neglected. He said, I always do what I see my father do. Are you here? Yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. He was rejected, but he never walked around saying, boy, I just can't make it unless somebody, notices me or pays me enough attention. Is everyone getting a hold of this? Ask yourself that question. Are your relationships plagued with feelings of being overlooked? See, why this matters is because of when the love of God dwells in you, that's not what you dwell on. Yeah, that's right. Are you here? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here's another way we could say it. I don't demand that anyone understands my feelings. I don't demand that anyone understands my feelings. You can't understand fully what it's like to be me. I can't understand fully what it's like to be you. Even your spouse. I know probably more than anybody on this earth what it's like, to be my wife and the life that she has, but it's still not 100%. She does not understand fully, what goes through my mind or the challenges that I face. There is only one that can understand you. There's only one that knows every little detail, every corner of your heart, every shadow of your brain. Amen. And you have to find your affirmation and your strength from him and stop demanding that out of people. Stop demanding that out of your church. Because if we're not careful, we'll become very self-absorbed and we'll want people to all pay attention to us. And we're living in a generation where everybody wants to be seen by men. Facebook, listen, it can be used for a lot of good things. Don't misunderstand me. But I'll tell you what, a lot of social media is just the human way of saying, notice me. Give me attention. I need your likes to affirm me. Boy, this is really going over well today. This is the heart that we should pursue. Amen. I don't understand that everybody understands my feelings. Here we go. We can say it this way. I am not seeking my own promotion. I'm not seeking my own promotion. Man does not promote me. Only God can promote you. You hear? People are taking this in because when we hear stuff like this, we start to realize, oh my heavens, I've been selfish. Is there anyone in here besides me that you've ever caught yourself being selfish? All the time. None of us have a perfect batting average with this. I don't have a perfect batting average with this. I'm not preaching this to give you a perfect batting average with this, but hopefully we can just up that batting average, do a little better. Imagine what would happen in your marriage if you stopped demanding certain feelings and recognitions out of your spouse. Praise the Lord. Married people, this is not the time to be throwing elbows. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, man, we need to be strong. We need to be mature in the Lord so we don't need everybody to tell us how great we are. So we don't, oh, boy. I can tell you this is going over great. Here's another way of saying it. I will not be offended if I don't get chosen. I won't be offended if I don't get the position in the church that I want. I won't get offended if I don't get called up to the platform. I won't get offended if I don't get called up to preach. I won't get offended if I don't make the staff. I won't get offended if I don't get my place. I won't get offended at work if somebody even less talented than you or with less time on the job gets promoted above you. Are you here? See, when we start acting these ways, we start demanding all that stuff, what we're doing is we're taking God out of the equation. Folks, this is just a way to melt down our heart, to boil things down to a humble heart and says, I'm not living on the recognition of men. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Here's another way to say it. I am not validated by your approval. I don't need your approval. You don't need someone's approval. Oh, boy, that's going to make someone happy. You can't live on an addiction of the approval of others. Here's one. I like this one. My securities are not your problem. Let me say that again. And I think I might have misquoted it. Let me say this again. My insecurities are not your problem, and your insecurities are not my problem. Listen, because we're insecure, needing to be noticed, that demand shouldn't be on other people around us. We shouldn't be putting that demand and expectation on people to fill a void that only God can fill. Some of you, you know, and believe me, I understand the feelings come to every one of us. You know, we start to walk in a deep discontentment because people haven't been enough. Our spouse hasn't been enough, or your job hasn't been enough, or the money hasn't been enough, or this and that hasn't been enough. I'll tell you what, that deep discontentment is more dangerous than anything you could lack in this world. And we've got to get to a point where we grow mature, you know, and strong and affirmed in the Lord. I don't need someone's approval. I don't need to be living a life that's just trying to feed the insecurity monster of somebody else. You don't need to be feeding my insecurity monster. Do you know what I mean by that? You ever seen somebody who has an insecure problem? They have an insecurity monster and they need it to be fed all the time. And it's unfair to put that demand on the people around you. You'll just wear them out. You'll burn out your spouse demanding that they affirm you all the time. Hallelujah. I'm helping myself. Glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. I won't be offended if I don't get chosen. I'm not validated by your approval. My insecurities are not your problem, and your insecurities are not my problem. You could say it this way. Jesus could say it this way. You didn't give me my glory, so you can't take it away. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, we're living in some really interesting days and times. And when I say this, I know this sounds like such an old guy thing to say. And I'm sure my boys, you know, after service, they'll probably tell me I'm a boomer or something like that. He's already nodding his head. They're getting ready already. But I'll tell you what, maybe it was just my generation, or maybe it was just, you know, the way I was raised. When we grew up, we played on the streets, and, you know, and when somebody insulted us, we were just told sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's what I was told. Or, and I'm not recommending this, but we just punched each other out and moved on. We threw some rocks. We built a fort. We built forts. We played war. And someone was going to win, and there was going to be someone that loses, and you shake hands after it, and you're playing with that kid the next day. You know what I mean? And growing up, you know, we weren't, you know, talking about the grievance of racism and sexism. You know, because my generation did not believe that the worst thing that could happen to you is that your feelings get hurt. Nowadays, all of a sudden, people are just thinking, you know, the worst thing that can happen to you is that someone could hurt your feelings. Oh, poor baby. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We'll hold the applause. I mean, you know, I know we kind of, we talk about this humorously and things like that. But I mean, the Bible says that in Christ, there is neither male nor female. There goes sexism, gone. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There goes racism, gone. As a Christian, I cannot and should not be grieved by an insult that someone throws at me, because my feelings are not the most important part of me. My faithfulness, my spirit, and my heart before God matters the most. Oh, man, I feel like there's been a radical change. When I was growing up, when someone called you a name, no one went after the one that called you the name. They talked to the one that was just insulted and said, What are you going to do about it? Yeah. Meaning, you learn to handle it. Okay. You learn to give it up. Okay. Sticks and stones will break my bones, right? But names will never hurt me. It wasn't, let's go find the one that called you a name and cancel them. We didn't do that. You know, my teachers growing up, when someone called, you know, the name, of course, if they had to deal with that kid or whatever, you know, but if someone had hurt feelings, they'd say, shake it off. Yeah. I have a meme. I know. It's hard to imagine. But I have a meme saved in my phone in my pictures. And yes, I did get it off the internet because it really spoke to me. And it was a picture of those old metal monkey bars. And I don't mean just the straight monkey bars. I mean those ones that were like that big contraption and that big dome. And they had like just pipes everywhere. They were made out of plumbing. Remember those things? You'd get to the top and you'd crawl up through the center of that thing, and there'd always be some mean bully at the top of that thing stomping on your hands. And then you'd fall down through that thing and you'd play Plinko all the way down. Ping, 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 ping. Remember that? You know, and I have this meme, and it has a picture of one of those playground implements. There's actually one of them, maybe even more, but there's one that still remains if you want to go find it right here in our area. It's over there by, on Chautauqua, it's right by the lake, right just outside of Lakewood. There's a little road, I forget the name of that road, that just veers off and goes right down by the lake. And down there, they have an old playground, and it has one of those old monkey bar contraptions, and it has an original sheet metal slide. How many of you grew up with the sheet metal slides? Yeah. Man, I tell you what, on a summer day, you'd go down that thing, and you'd need a skin graft. Those slides, you didn't slide anywhere. You just melted on it. How many of you grew up in the days of Midway with a big red slide, and you would get that potato sack on, and it always came off halfway down the slide, and the rest of it was an emergency room trip? You know, you get to the bottom of that, And so the meme that I have, it says this. It says, when I was 5, I died once, and my mom told me to walk it off. That's exactly right. Walk it off. Oh, someone made fun of my race. Who cares? Well, Pastor, that hurts. I understand. I'm not saying that that's right. It's awful. Of course, racism is wrong to the hilt. But when you're secure in Christ, who cares what calls you, anybody calls you? Amen. Oh, I'm offended because this and that, sexism, this and that. I tell you what, give it up. You don't, as a Christian, Jesus is ultimately getting at, we don't live grieved all the time. We live with the love of God that says, oh, they said something about me. The Bible says that Jesus stood like a lamb before the slaughter. He stood as a lamb before a slaughter and did not open his mouth. There's nobody that faced more injustice in the history of this universe than Jesus Christ, our Savior. And he still went to that cross even when we were sinning. He let it go. He forgave us with his life. Amen. And so that's what we're getting at, having that heart that just lets those grievances go. Those grievances will do more damage than you can create good by trying to fix it. And you know, we got to be careful about this idea that's prevailing in our society that the worst thing that can happen to you is that your feelings can get hurt. Listen, I'm here to tell you, your feelings are going to be trampled on a million times in this life. Wouldn't it be a better idea to just prepare yourself? Because you can't stop others from hurting you. Of course what they're doing is wrong. Of course racism is wrong. And yes, I fully believe that if a man and a woman, I don't care who's doing a job, if they're doing it well, they should get paid. Pay them the same. So I'm not here saying that, you know, men are better than women. Not at all. Actually, it's the other way around if we want to get right down to it. So many women are more diligent and all this stuff. But I'm just saying, give that up in your heart. Amen. Stop being grieved all the time by the discrepancies in our society or the weaknesses of your spouse. Are you here? You know, maybe you were, man, I tell you what, we grew up on those playgrounds that maimed you. We have these nice plastic playgrounds now. You know, we've got rubber chips on the bottom. Kids come flying off and it feels good. They land. Oh no, we played over there at Rogers School. Remember going through those tires? You'd run across those old tractor tires. You would fall. I remember watching a kid run across those tires and fell right down through the middle of one and literally broke his leg. And we laughed at him. And I'm not saying that that's right. But it was just, you know, it was like that. You know? Oh, man, I'm on a soapbox. And I'm going to keep going on it. You know, I'm a little bit of a sports fan, you know. And it's just so amazing to me. Like, you know, I take me and my boys, we go down to Cleveland. We go to some NBA basketball games and things. And, you know, we're just kind of moderate. Well, they're bigger basketball fans than I am. But we go and enjoy a game here and there, maybe one or two a season. And now, like, you go down there and you see a basketball game. And now, like, some of their best players will just sit out for the sake of sitting out. And now they play, like, you know, three quarters of the season. Man, when I grew up, like with Michael Jordan and all those guys, they played with broken bones. There was just a toughness. Anyway, get me off the soapbox. You know, we got to get to a point in the Lord that we're not hurt by what people do. Amen. And that we're not craving the recognition, because you're going to see why here in just a moment. Here's another way we could say this. Are you getting anything out of this here today? We're going to wrap this up here in a minute. A few minutes. And probably a few minutes after that. Here's another way you could say it. I am freeing you from the demands of keeping me happy. What if you freed your spouse from the demands of keeping you happy? You know, if God has called you to this church, you know, free your pastor, free the people around you. Free other believers from the demands of keeping you happy. Amen. We could say it like this. I am lifting the burden on you of maintaining my joy. Have you done that in your marriage? Have you gone to your spouse and say, you know what? I just want you are not responsible to maintain my joy. Have you ever had friendships before where someone demands that you maintain the friendship all the time? Oh boy, I'm gonna really make somebody mad. Do you know what I mean by that? It's like all of a sudden they demand, well, where have you been? All of a sudden maybe things get busy and it's been a few weeks and they're like, hey, where have you been? How come you haven't called me? How come you didn't get back to my text message? How come I didn't do that? Well, folks, maybe some of us don't live with our phones sewn into our arms. You know, sometimes that's just true. Listen, I'm here to tell you, you might text me. It might be a couple of days. You know, it just might be a couple of days sometimes. But, you know, sometimes people, they have this demand. They need to maintain a friendship. But isn't it so refreshing when you have those people in your life that maybe weeks or months go by and there was no maintenance and all of a sudden you see them and it's like you just pick right up where you left off and there was no maintenance needed? Those are going, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Those relationships are the most refreshing because there's not a demand on them to maintain your joy. But I'll tell you what, when people come to me and say, you haven't texted me enough. How come you didn't call me soon enough? How come you didn't do this? How come you do that? I'll tell you what, that's really not a friend. Let's just get right down to it. Well, praise the Lord, that went over well. Here's this one. How about this one? Oh my goodness. Oh, everyone, let's stock this one deep into our heart. I will survive if you ignore me. I will survive if you ignore me. There's some people that they won't survive if people ignore them. Jesus was saying, I don't crave your recognition. I'll survive if you don't recognize me. I'll survive if you don't have the best day. I'll survive if I go a week without your compliments. I'll survive. Are you here? Don't you want this heart? Listen, none of us will be perfect at this. Please know I've qualified this with that statement. None of us are perfect at this, but this is where I want to be. This is the direction that God is looking for us to move. Glory to God. How about this one? God thinks of me even when you're not. There's my answer right there. God is my affirmation. How about this one? Your praise can't promote me, and your criticisms can't keep me down. Your praise cannot promote me. I'm not just saying this from my, this is the heart of the Lord. This is the heart that we should have. Your praises cannot promote me, and your criticisms cannot keep me down. Listen, I tell you what, praise, when people heap approval on you all the time, that can be just as toxic as their criticisms. I'll tell you what, doesn't mean you can't encourage people and compliment people, but I'm just telling you, if we take that and we become so hungry that we have to thrive on that. Are you here today? Amen. I'm getting to the end of this. Praise the Lord. here's another one. You don't have to feel like I'm your favorite every minute of the day. You don't. Here's the good news. You don't have to feel like I'm your favorite every minute of the day. Here's one that I think needs to go on a t-shirt somewhere. No compliments, no problem. No compliments, no problem. I don't need them. I'm not living on them, thank you. But just like this, I'm not living on criticisms either. Praise the Lord. How about this one? And I'll end with this, meaning with this line right here. He says this, or we could say it like this, I won't use you to heal my feelings. I will not use you to heal my feelings. Oh boy. How many of you know we can really do this if we're not careful? Use people. Here is why all this matters. People with insecurities, people who are desperate for validation, people that demand approval and recognition or even empathy, they don't realize it, but they are craving the honor of men. And this is why it's dangerous, because it's pride and it's the opposite of the love of God. Now look at verse 42 again. Bring up verse 42. It doesn't matter in what translation. Jesus said, but I know you, Pharisees, you do demand honor from people. You want the recognition. You need their compliments. You're demanding their approval. You need them to maintain your joy because you do not have the love for God in your hearts. Wow. See, what we are doing and we don't realize it is that we're using the affirmation of people to replace a relationship with our Father. We need the approval. We need the recognition. We need the promotion. We're demanding those things to fill a void that only fellowship and time with God can fill. Are you here? Folks, I'll tell you what, this will save your marriage. It'll save your life. It'll keep your joy. When you understand you're walking with your Heavenly Father, you don't need people to tell you how great you are. You don't need to be affirmed by somebody else, even your own spouse. People with insecurities who demand approval and recognition. It's pride. It's the opposite of the love of God. The Bible says pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. When we're living with that demand for people's approval, we're putting our own lives in danger. We're putting our spiritual life in danger. Like I said, people will use this as a replacement or as an imposter for developing a true godly relationship with the Father. It is an imposter for true godly character. People don't seek God. They don't fellowship with God like they should. So they try to fill that void with human recognition. Is everyone getting this? What if we were walking in a maturity that did not care what people thought about you? What if you did not care what your spouse said to you in one of their worst moments? What if the pastor missed you? Meaning, what if I walk by it, or what if I, miss saying hello or something? What if I got distracted? You know, I get that, from time to time. Well, people say, Pastor, you walked by me, or I saw you in public and you didn't say hi to me. And I'll just tell you, listen, if I didn't say hi, it was because I just didn't notice. Trust me, my head was down. I was just moving towards, listen, I go into stores. I know what I want already. I'm in there and I'm out. I wasn't trying to ignore anybody. Pastor, I've got someone in my family. They haven't called me in 3 months. What's wrong with them? Don't they know this and that? Listen, don't demand it out of them. It'll hurt you. it'll hurt you. We understand those feelings. We all go through those feelings. Those feelings are real. But look at verse 42. Jesus says, I know you, Pharisees. I recognize and understand that you want the honor of God, but that's because the love of God is not in you. So this describes the reason why the Pharisees were the way they were. They were glory hounds. Glory hounds. They hounded for the recognition and the approval of everybody around them. And the reason was, Jesus said, is because the love of God was not dwelling in them. They were not fellowshipping with God. They were not looking for true heart, humility, and character. And because they did not, they weren't in it for the character. They were in it for their recognition. You know, people try to do that with the church all the time. People want positions. They want to be on church boards. You know, I've had people over the years offer this church money if they could just be on this church board. I say, no. I've had people say, well, we'll give money to the church if you let me be a Sunday school teacher. No, it's not how that works. If that's your heart, if you're trying to buy your way into influence, your heart is wrong. And you're playing around, you're messing around with the power of God. You don't want to do that. Amen. Are you here today? Glory to God. The Pharisees were not in fellowship with the Lord in their hearts. Think about this. When it comes to marriage, it is wrong to make your spouse maintain your joy. It is wrong to sit there and stew and demand that your spouse affirm you or compliment you and recognize how great you are. Yes, it would be nice. Yes, it would be good to be honored. Yes, it's even biblical to be honored and encouraged. It would help. But sometimes it can just be a luxury. Sometimes it's just a luxury, and unfortunately, those times do happen, and we wish they didn't, but they do. You must find your affirmation and your validation in the Lord. It is unfair and unjust to put that on your spouse because they will not be able to keep up with that. The problem with some marriages is that one spouse just does not have enough compliments to feed the emptiness of their wife or their husband, no matter how much they try. People do this also with their kids. People use their kids to bring them affirmation. They get competitive with their kids. They get defensive if somebody criticizes their children or has to discipline their children. They always defend their children. They act like their kids can do no wrong. You better be careful. That's pride. Your kids do not need that. Are you here? You have to find security in the Lord and bring that to your marriage. Bring that to your family and not demand it out of them. See, because the bottomless pit of insecurity always demands affirmation. Do you know what I mean by the bottomless pit of insecurity? You ever known somebody with a bottomless pit of insecurities? I have. It's a sign of true discontentment. It's a surest sign of unhappiness. Their demand for honor, and it's sad. Yeah. Ever seen people who jump from relationship to relationship? I don't mean just romantic relationships. I mean even friendships. They'll jump from one friendship to friendship, always on the hunt for the next group to be with, only to burn those relationships in a year or two, and they go looking for the next one to make them feel better. They're using people to feed their insecurities. Loyalty is for a lifetime. This is where fights and hurts and instability come from. I know and I understand that people have real personal hurts in their life. Maybe people have a past where their parent abandoned them or put them down, or they might have an abusive ex-spouse or someone that was always criticizing them, and we understand that those trials are real and that hurt is real. But here's the thing, no matter who we are, we cannot seek to fill those voids by demanding expectations from everybody else. It's unfair, and it's pride. And it comes before destruction. So what's the answer? Humble yourself. humble yourself if you're not getting everything you want out of people. Humble yourself if you're not living in the approval or the attention of others. Humble yourself and seek a relationship with God unlike you've ever had before. If you aren't as close to somebody as you wish you were, get close to God. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He's the only one that will ever truly understand. And now this literally is my final statement. Are you ready? Here's the second thing that happens when the love of God does not dwell in us. Number one, we demand the honor from people. Some of you are really chewing on this here today. Because all of a sudden you realize, wow, I've been doing this. Hey, listen, who hasn't? Who hasn't been doing this? You know, the purpose of this series of messages is to boil away our selfishness and get right down to square one and what it means to have a pure heart before God. Here's the second thing that happens when the love of God dwells in you. Or we'll use the reciprocal side. Notice this. These Pharisees could not recognize Christ when he was right in front of them. So what happens if the love of God is dwelling in you? You'll be able to see what God is doing right in front of your very eyes. Your spiritual vision, your spiritual discernment depends on walking and demonstrating the love of God. If you're not walking in the love of God, if you're demanding that everybody fulfill you, you will not be able to see what God is doing even right in front of your own lives. And I will say this by the unction of the Holy Ghost. You that need answers, I'm here to tell you, your answers are already right in front of you. Your answer is already right in front of you. You know what to do. You know what is sacred to God. You know what changes need to be made. Your answer isn't something that's just going to come in from nowhere. It's already with you. It's already with you. The second thing, you cannot see what God sets before you. The Pharisees could not see Jesus through their pride. Their pride and demand that everybody maintain them blinded them from seeing the greatest life that has ever been on this earth. Pride is a barrier that cannot be seen through. Pride is a barrier that cannot be seen through when we make it about ourselves and everybody has to honor us. Because the Pharisees didn't have God as their greatest desire, he wasn't their goal, their discernment and their spiritual vision and their ability to see God's plan was eliminated. They had the Messiah standing before them, Jesus in the flesh, and they still couldn't recognize him. Same thing will happen to us in our lives if we're always craving the honor of men. And now, just to read the verse one last time in verse 45, actually verse 44. Can you drop down to verse 44? Look at, you can leave it right there. How is it possible for you to believe? How can you learn to believe? You who are content to seek and receive praise and honor and glory from one another. And yet you do not seek the praise and honor and glory which come from him who alone is God. How can we learn to believe if we're addicted to the approval of others or demand that our spouse affirm us instead of seeking the glory that only comes from him? There is an honor that only God can give you. There is an honor that he can only fulfill you. He can only satisfy you. Amen? Don't put that on your wife. Don't put that on your boss. Don't put that on your church. Don't put that on your pastor. Don't put that on your kids. Do you get some help here today? Imagine if we stop trying to work on everybody else and we just work on ourselves. Amen. That will change your life because it's the word of God. Jesus said, I seek no human approval. I don't demand honor from anybody. I don't demand that they maintain my joy. I don't demand that they maintain my affirmation. Jesus showed us what it's like to walk in the love of God. It is not love to put that expectation on somebody else. That's a burden. I'll go one step further. It's not just a burden, it's bondage. It's bondage to hold your spouse hostage with your need and insecurity. If you've got an insecurity monster in your life, kill it before it kills you. That's the word of God, and I'm sticking with it. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you. We glorify you. Lord Jesus, you came and you showed us what it is like not to crave the honor from people, not to demand the affirmation from others. You came and you showed us what true love looks like. And the love of God does not demand the attention out of everybody else. The love of God does not demand compliments. The love of God does not demand that people maintain your joy. And Lord, but yet we find ourselves many times in life, we're expecting that out of somebody. We're expecting them to fulfill us. We want their encouragement. We just demand their approval. Lord, we thank you. We're grateful when people encourage us. We're grateful when compliments come and all that. But we can't crave them. We can't require them. We can't thrive. And we certainly can't use them to replace a relationship with you. Lord, we know that in these last days, insecurities are running at an all-time high. They're being magnified and amplified through social media, through all this heightened communication in the information age. Everybody's just developing insecurities, a need to be recognized and noticed. Father, we get our strength from you. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We bless you, Lord God, that you're our affirmation. You're our joy every single day. Thank you, Lord. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Have you humbled yourself and gone to Jesus and declared him as your Lord and Savior? Have you told your Heavenly Father that you believe with all your heart that he raised Jesus, his Son, from the dead for you? The Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Right there in the quiet of your own conscience, ask yourself, am I saved? Am I born again? If today was my last day on earth, would I be in heaven or would I be in hell? We got to ask ourselves that. If that answer to that question is no or I don't know, well then don't leave here until you know. Today I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you or call you into the aisle or anything like that. Right there with eyes closed, heads bowed. If that's you and you know in your heart, I'm going to just ask you to take a small step towards God and lift your hand in the air. And when I see your hand, I'll just have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can pray and ask Jesus to come into your life. Confess him as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Just take that step and lift your hand. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anyone else who'd say, yes, Lord, that's me. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. Sometimes we rest on our own merits. Sometimes we say, well, I've been a good person. Well, being good is not what God will judge you on. The first thing he's going to ask is, have you made Jesus your Lord and Savior? It's about faith in Christ. Is there anyone here that, anyone else that you, know that you need to respond and you haven't responded yet. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Thank you. I see your hand. You can put it down. Let God deal with your heart. Make it real. Be sincere with God. I know this takes extra time, but it's worth taking. Is there anybody else that you know that you need to respond here today? Listen, we've already asked the question. You know, we've already asked the question, who has ever struggled with selfishness before? That's all of us. Let's boil away that selfishness. Get down to the heart of God and what He wants most in this life for us. We had several hands. What I'm going to do, I'm going to lead the entire congregation in a prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray these words out of your mouth. Speak them from your heart. God will hear you. Don't just think them in your mind. We're all going to be praying with you. This is not some religious ceremony or ritual. This is us helping you. Come to the Lord. Let's all pray this together. Say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Folks, did you get some help here today from the Word of God? Let's stand to our feet. We just love you. We appreciate you. Folks, I want to tell you, you know, what a special, you know, honor it is that we see, you know, new faces here every single week, and we have multiple people that lift their hand and say yes. You know, they're walking through these doors accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. We should never lose sight of how precious that is. Amen. Let's give God the glory for it. Father, we just praise you today. We glorify you today. Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your grace upon our lives. And Lord, we say it all together. Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.